Nerds. Welcome back to I'm Not Famous, only on Project Nerd, and we're here in Colorado Springs at the Iron Lion. Sucking in? Is that what
we're
doing? Sucking in. Okay.
Well, I have to look tall or I'm not going to be on camera with this guy.
To get back into the shot, I guess. So we're here with Rob, dressed as Negan. How you doing, Rob?
Good.
Good. And he's going to talk, we're going to talk cosplay, geek stuff, all the stuff we do.
Yeah.
I'm Not Famous, really, we never know where it's going to go. Probably some Star Wars, because I got Star Wars ink here. He's got Star Wars ink all over his car. So,
yeah.
Do you know what Star Wars is, Carrie?
I do.
Do you have that one? Okay.
Yeah, perfect. It's got a Picard in it, right?
I'm leaving.
Isn't that like the new trailer where like
the new Star
Sean
Trek
Connery
trailer.
Comes
Which we can
back
talk about that because I do like Trek as well.
Yeah. But no, like I'm interested. I'm a little intimidated because obviously the barbed wire is facing me. I'm a little like.
Well, I already paid him under the table when you were in the restroom to hit you with the bat.
All right. Well, I'm just going to get a little numb for a second with my coffee, and we'll keep going. But Rob, tell us a little bit about yourself. You know, we talked a little bit off camera. I want to capture it. How long have you been doing cosplay for?
So I've been doing cosplay since January last year.
Yeah, January last year.
Just January last year.
Year and a half, about, not too long.
You remember what was happening in January to make? Because you remember it specifically. Some people are like, maybe 2000.
Went to a con. I retired from the military like 2.5 years ago. Mm. And I worked as a contractor for a while. And I was traveling half the time. 50% of the time I was in Germany, gone doing space stuff. I'm a space guy, aerospace engineer. Then I decided, I have a 4-year-old. And I became a single dad. Decided I'm going to stay home. And I get good money from retirement and disability and stuff in the military, so I'm like, okay, I can do that. And so
but how does that lead to cosplay? Like, is it something for your son? Like, it seemed like you kind of went from that kind of whole thing changed.
Art and then conventions led to cosplay. Okay. So
right,
I enjoy
art as well. Yeah.
I do art and I enjoyed it. I thought, you know, be an artist for, I don't really have to make much of anything. I can just go have fun and do my art stuff and try to sell it, see what happens. And so I went to my first convention about 2 years ago, and I saw some cosplayers there, and I thought it was interesting, and I thought about it in the following months after that convention, and thought, you know, I could probably get a costume up and do that at my art table, too, just to attract more attention.
Yeah, for sure.
So the first one I did at the con back in end of January, I did Doctor Strange.
Okay.
And I did a bot cape and another bot piece, but then I handmade one piece, like a big robe type piece with a big Eye of Agamotto on the back for Doctor Strange. And people just loved my cosplay there more than my art.
Which convention was this?
It was Galaxy Fest.
Okay. Where is Galaxy? Is that
here in the
spring?
That's
here in the spring. So
okay.
What was the show that you first went to, though? You said you went to one a few
months
ago.
That was Pikes Peak Comic Con, and it was up at Pikes Peak Community College.
Really?
Yeah, up here on the north side.
I guess that was a couple of years ago now, huh?
A couple years ago, yep.
I don't know what year it is anymore, I guess. I don't know. Yeah. So, art, what kind of art do you like to do?
Some fantasy stuff. I do some fan art. So I did Doctor Strange piece, of course. It's one of my big cosplays. I do some space art. In fact, I could probably just show you some examples.
And we can pull it up on the screen when we do the video edit.
So
especially when the bat's being put down, I feel like that's a safe
yeah.
Oh, you want it?
So here's business cards, and I've got, there's a Doctor Strange piece I did. Here's a Demon Imp piece I did, and here's a X-37 space plane piece that I did.
I like it.
Those are awesome.
Yeah.
Business cards.
That's great. Military space art, I like that.
That was the idea at first, being a space officer from the military and aerospace engineer, space scientist.
Wait,
I had all the connections.
You said you were a space officer.
No, he glossed over the fact that he's an aerospace engineer.
Right.
Like, because that's not huge or anything.
But how do I get the title of space officer? Like, do you go to like an officer school?
We have the Space Force now.
Well, sort of. There is a space branch in the military. There's a space branch in the Air Force. They have the largest contingent of space officers. And the Army has a small group. And when I came aboard, it was about 250 space officers in the Army. That included people that worked with satellite systems, classified stuff that flies up there, and the astronauts all kind of grouped together in the same group.
I think people forget, and with it being the 50th anniversary this year of the moon landing, I think it's been put back into mainstream a lot, but people forget how many people it takes to send somebody up there, because there are just rooms filled with people. as well as the tech that has to be maintained beforehand, afterhand, built, and all this stuff. It's crazy the team that it is to do our space travel.
I got good exposure to that. Well, being a space officer, I did go and I visited SpaceX like 5 times. I visited some of the other classified facilities where they build things. And I actually got to go spend a year at the Applied Physics Lab with Johns Hopkins University, and they run some NASA missions there. And I worked on 12 different projects when I was there, but the highlight of my career, I had wanted to either be an astronaut or work on a deep space mission sometime in my life. Yeah. And so I got to work on a deep space mission when I was there. I got to work on the New Horizons project that went to Pluto.
Oh, wow.
And I reviewed the autonomy systems of that spacecraft, because as it goes out to Pluto, or went out to Pluto, it's past now.
Yeah.
It's a 4-hour communication time for light or signal to get out to the spacecraft, and it's at Pluto, and 4 hours coming back. So you can't tell the spacecraft, oh, the spacecraft sees Pluto, point at this weird thing here.
Because it's 8 hours later now.
Yeah,
right,
it's past Pluto then. It has to figure it out on its own. So I reviewed that autonomy, the autonomy systems of the spacecraft. Someone else actually designed it. But during my year there as a military officer, I was selected to go and get more civilian clothes. That was nice.
didn't have to be in the green.
Reviewed the systems, it all checked out, and the mission went well, and it was pretty neat.
Awesome. How did that feel? Like, so when it gets to Pluto, how do you feel at that point, knowing that you contributed to that? Because that wasn't a minor accomplishment. That was the timing. Because you talk about not only the timing of communicating right there, but so far in advance, it has to be launched and travel the right trajectory to line up with a planet that is traveling a completely different, like, a year on Pluto is far, far different than a year on Earth.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Altogether, that, you know, everything has to come together, and any little error, and there's other missions out there that have errors happen and the whole mission goes, or a small part goes. Like, for example, the New Horizons mission shares the control room at Johns Hopkins University with the Messenger mission.
Okay.
And Messenger, I was sitting on the control floor when it did its first fly past of Mercury, and it had an autonomy problem, actually. The same thing I was looking at on New Horizons, and it didn't know it at the time, but they said, we're going to get some pictures that it goes past the first time, and instead they just got the signal and went blip, and just disappeared.
Right.
And everyone just went crazy on the floor, and, you know, what's going on?
This stuff's fascinating. It's like, I show my kids, like, the Voyager stuff, and it's like, you have to understand this was made that long ago, and it's still communicating, like, out in the middle of nowhere to where we don't even still know what's actually out there, where it's at. It's just crazy, these missions and how much goes into it. I'm obsessed with space as well, so, like, being an astronaut would be the coolest thing. Like, I said it the other day, we were watching, I started showing my kids From the Earth to the Moon on HBO.
Okay.
And watching it, I'm like, I'd love to go out of space. And my daughter's like, I don't want to go out of space. I'm like, why? She's like, what if I get left out there? Like, fair enough. So, I don't know. It takes a special breed, I guess, to actually want to go out there, too. And it takes a large wallet to actually get to go out there. But at least with private business. You mentioned SpaceX. What was that like? Like, I feel like that'd be awesome to go see all that's going on with this privatized world of it now.
At the time, I was one of the instructors for the new Army Space Officers that were coming aboard, and I think they've grown to like 500 people now, I think, and I think they're possibly with Space Force, they're going to combine them, all officers together from the Air Force, Army together as one group, if they keep going that direction. Mm. It was talked about back when I was on the Army space side doing those things. Where are we going? Oh, SpaceX, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very neat. SpaceX and other facilities. I went to Boeing, Lockheed Martin out there and saw things they were making, how they put the things together. And SpaceX was very unique, and they kind of turned things on the head on the space industry and changed stuff up and did things differently. They had a hard time starting with some things, like, for example, they build a lot of their stuff right on the floor there where the headquarters is, their shop area too. But there was one piece, I forget what exactly it was, that it was a small company, and they did stuff for like Boeing and Lockheed Martin for their spacecraft, but they were fully contracted out, and they would not do it for SpaceX. SpaceX said, okay, we want you to do this for us too. I said, sorry, we can't. So what did SpaceX do? They bought the company and moved it to their floor.
There you go. I mean, when you got that kind of money, again, when you have those types of that wallet, I don't know. You got space questions, dude?
No, I don't. I am.
You're
thought
not a big space nut.
I knew with cosplay I wasn't going to be able to participate, but now you're talking about space, and my obvious question is what do you think? I mean, you've obviously done so many professional things relating to this environment, and then you see people coming out, and then documentaries being formed about the idea and concept behind Flat Earth. Like, you have to have an opinion based on that, right? I mean, you've been physically involved in many of these things, and yet there's people both locally and all around the U.S. that believe in this concept.
All around the world.
Around the world. you have to have an opinion on that.
I have a buddy that one of his relatives is a flat earther, apparently. And so every once in a while, I'll send my buddy a little post on Facebook about something just kind of poking fun at his relative. He just enjoys it, too.
Is it more like for you, you're like, you don't even, like, even participate in it because it's so obvious and wrong kind of thing?
It's one of those things that you, I mean, if someone believes that, you just can't argue with them.
Right. That's true. I mean, that's the best way to put it. If they're already that far, you're not going to put any logic.
I mean, you can, but it seems like there's no point, right? Is that kind of what you're saying? Like, if someone believes that,
if they're that far gone, there's no way you're going to...
That you know you're going to prove it. So you don't even bother where you're like, that was my one space question. It wasn't even space related, but I figured you had to at least have some sort of...
Well, going back to cosplay then.
Yeah.
You mentioned, so your son's four now? Or
daughter.
Or daughter, okay, I'm sorry. Four?
Yes.
Okay. What was her reaction to some of the costumes you've made so far? She's got to be super excited about it, right?
When she sees some, like she's seen some of the Marvel movies on TV at home, mm-hmm. saw Doctor Strange, when she sees that, she just points and says, Daddy, Daddy, it's you.
You're like, that's right. Like,
well, how do you pick your characters? I mean, you initially start with Doctor Strange, right?
Yep.
Obviously now with Negan from the Walking Dead. Do you pick it based on how well you kind of look like that particular character, or is there anything else involved?
A little bit, and a little identification too. So I kind of identify with Doctor Strange on his kind of a technical side, and seems a little geeky in ways too, being a technical surgeon.
So you feel like your
personality
kind of matches some of that character's personality?
Yep. A little bit. And the later Doctor Strange versus the asshole beginning Doctor Strange.
Well, because I was going to say, like, now you say that, and now you're Negan, I'm a little bit worried how you say you portray a little bit of your...
Now you're
I enjoy the Negan character, and I really enjoy how well he does that character.
Okay.
And the persona that's put in there.
Now the Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
Yeah, Jeffrey Dean Morgan, how he does. So...
But
I like villains,
so many
too.
Iconic
I
characters.
Probably like villains maybe even more than the good guys in a lot of cases. Just
a lot of times they put more into the villains.
Well, and they have to be believable, right?
Right.
So you have to develop that character.
And nowadays we're trying to make them more understandable and relatable. So I feel like you get
there's always
more
a backstory.
About the villains. Right,
you always get a backstory for the... And you somewhat connect with a villain, right? I mean, you can see, like, all right, they're not 100% bad. We were so used to the era where they were always bad because they were always going to be
Joker
evil.
Joker was just the Joker
because
he was Joker.
Yeah, because they're evil. Yeah. And now with the new Joker, we just saw the trailer.
What's the backstory behind the evilness, or where did it come from?
And I think it's always, like, interesting to see, you know, that aspect of it. I love Jeffrey Dean Morgan in a lot of other roles.
Oh, yeah.
So if you could cosplay in the P.S. I Love You character, Jeffrey Dean Morgan, or the Losers.
All Losers.
I think you've got a whole weekend cosplay event that you
Jeffrey
can just
Dean
go
Morgan.
Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
Next
whole
event
time.
You go to that he's a guest, you can do all the...
The progressions of
what
his
does the
career.
P.S. I Love You Jeffrey Dean Morgan look like? What's the costume for that?
He's just himself. He's an Irish dude. You can put on a guitar. He plays the guitar, I think,
okay.
if I remember.
And I can almost... I have like one finger that matches Doctor Strange is my pinky here. Kind of messed up, so that's one identification.
How did you mess up your pinky? Was that a space-related injury?
Oh, yeah.
It's classified.
Do you get workers' comp for a space injury?
Parachuting out of the space shuttle. No, it was actually it was the military, though. But it was doing sports, playing, like, tag football and diving for the ball, and then pinky hits the ground.
Everybody gets hurt.
Bends back.
Everybody
here.
Gets hurt doing these things, and what that means is it's classified.
Yeah.
Folks.
Somebody rushed Area 51 while he was over there, and he stepped on some dude.
Stuck him in the eye.
That was it. He pushed him through the fence.
I was there. 51 was popular. All right. Real quick, so we'll be past Colorado Springs Comic Con by the time this airs, but when you go set up now, I know you're a cosplay guest there, right?
Yes.
Are you bringing your art out and everything as well? Or do you
I'll probably bring a little bit of art out.
But you just focus more on the costumes now when you are a cosplay guest?
I have a couple of big, I have a big skull that I did, which is actually hanging in a coffee shop here in the Springs.
Like a 3D skull or like
a? It's an actual Watusi skull from Africa. It's like 4 foot by 4 foot, but I use automotive paints and crystals and hammered copper bands that I made around the horn.
And where's that at?
It's at the Java Punk Cafe. It's like off
of Colorado Springs. We get a lot of, I mean, obviously a lot of local people because we see them at cons and stuff that are listening. So you can check that out here in the Springs. I'm getting signals that we're getting low on time. So where can people find you online to check out more of what you're doing?
You can look at Instagram, Robrecht Art, R-O-B-R-E-C-H-T, Art, all one word for Instagram. And then Robrecht, again, if you just search that, you probably find me. But then last name, Berg.
Perfect. And we'll put all those links, obviously, on the post. Yeah. So if you're catching this on the podcast stream on Apple Podcasts now, or Google Play, head on over to projectnerd.com. We'll have all the links as well as the video ready for you. Are you going to tell them where to subscribe and follow our stuff? For those that are watching
YouTube. This is the subscribe.
Somehow Carrie believes that it's in the screen, the video. So, but you know where you can find those buttons anyways on that. Well, Rob, it was awesome. Great. Educational. Probably could talk for hours about space.
Yeah.
But we're going to cut out for another episode from the Iron Lion in Colorado Springs. This is I'm Not Famous on Project Nerd.
Nice.
There you go. Awesome. We didn't even get to the